sir, you are unmuted. Please talk.
Okay.
I apologize.
Okay, great.
It was me. I was not unmuted.
Okay.
I apologize for that hiccup. Welcome to episode 71, everyone. We heard the most wonderful talk by Heather Bryans on our insiders portion. And if you missed it, dial in at 10 o'clock next time. And whoever is our guest speaker, or we might have follow-up, we might have Heather, we might have someone else, we're delighted to share their insights with you at 10 o'clock for the insiders portion. I do want to mention that today we've got some great questions, and we're going to mug someone. So that's funny. We are giving away our official Coffee with the Coder mug, which has our branding on both sides. And you can see it on the website. There are lots of pictures of people, and also on social media, lots of pictures of people who have their mug shots. That's your selfie with your AQIQ branded item or this mug that we give out for free. And the way you get one is typically you ask a question of Coffee with the Coder. And when we use that question, all the names that we're using that are non-anonymous go into a drawing. That drawing today, all these people are non-anonymous, so one of them is going to have mailed to them a official Coffee with the Coder mug. So I'm looking forward to that piece, but I want to share with you all these questions. Thanks for showing up today, and I apologize for my hiccup at the beginning. I was double muted. So let's start off. We have an insider, Ida from Georgia, who has sent us lots of wonderful questions, and she has already won a mug, which is cool, but you can still ask questions even after you win. Right, Ida? She says, can you tell me if we only code the longest length of dialysis, or do we code each different length of time? And she's talking about ICD-10 PCS.
Okay, so in 2017, three new duration values were added to the code table, 5A1 of ICD-10 PCS, to capture the duration and continuity of hemodialysis procedures. And Coding Clinic, in the fourth quarter of 2017, then published an article detailing how those codes should actually be reported. And they indicate that intermittent hemodialysis is the conventional treatment, usually performed for end-stage renal disease 3 times per week for about 4 hours a session. And they go on to indicate that there are 2 other forms of hemodialysis which can be referred to as renal replacement therapy, or RRT. And these forms are directed only at acute kidney injury or acute renal failure, and they're typically delivered to critically ill patients that are in intensive care. The first is prolonged intermittent renal replacement therapy, or PIRRT, which is going to also be sometimes called sustained low-efficiency dialysis, or SLED, and extended daily dialysis, or EDD. Now, this is usually performed for 6 to 18 hours per day, and it's a gentler type of dialysis with lower blood pump speeds and lower dialysate flow rates to help maintain a hemodynamic stability. The second form is continuous renal replacement therapy, or CRRT, and that also sometimes can be called venovenous hemofiltration, CVVH, or continuous venovenous hemodialysis, which is CVVHD, or you might hear it referred to as continuous venovenous hemodialofiltration, or CVVHDF. And this is performed for at least 18 hours, up to 24 hours a day, and it's the gentlest and the slowest form of hemodialysis, which is going to be used for patients whose acute kidney injury has resulted in hemodynamic instability. Now, there are a few questions that are posed in that that Coding Clinic article that can help decide how many codes to report. The first is, a patient with acute kidney injury undergoes prolonged intermittent renal replacement therapy, or PIRRT, over 4 days during the course of the inpatient stay. And they're asking, how should the PIRRT be coded? Well, Coding Clinic indicates that you would assign code 5A1D80Z for performance of urinary filtration for prolonged intermittent 6 to 18 hours per day. And they also indicate that facilities can choose to capture that each day. Therefore, the code could be assigned 4 times if you desired. They also include another scenario in which a patient with acute kidney injury is medically unstable and undergoes continuous renal replacement therapy continuously for 36 hours. The patient improved and intermittent hemodialysis was started. Hemodialysis was performed 3 hours a day for 5 days, and the question they asked is, how should this be coded in ICD-10-PCS? So in this case, coding clinic is indicating that you would code 5A1D90Z, performance of urinary filtration continuous for greater than 18 hours per day. And this code is assigned only once because the therapy was interrupted. So, uninterrupted, I'm sorry. So what all of this means to me is that the first thing we look at is the type of hemodialysis. And then, was the dialysis performed intermittently, which means, you know, on multiple days? If that's the case, you could report one code per day, or you might just assign that one code. It would depend on how your facility is choosing to report it. However, if you had continuous therapy, even when it's over multiple days, then you're just going to report that one code. So what you do first is determine the type of therapy and then determine the length of the time and whether it's intermittent or continuous.
Thank you. Thank you. You always help clear things up. let's move on to a question from Lisa. And let's see, this is from an inpatient facility account. She's talking about ICD-10 PCS, I believe. She says, how would you code an IND of a left lower leg abscess with cultures and a 4-centimeter excisional debridement and removal of necrotic skin and subcutaneous tissue? That was the entire service.
Okay. So we would need a few codes to report this procedure. First, the IND of the left lower leg abscess for the cultures, and that would be reported with code 0, J9P0ZX, which is drainage of the left lower leg, subcutaneous tissue and fascia, open approach, diagnostic. You would also report the excisional debridement with code 0HBJXZZ, which is the excision of the left upper leg, skin, external approach. And just as a reminder, the physician does need to actually document that it was excisional debridement, or they would need to clearly document the removal of tissue by excision, which is cutting off out or off without replacement a portion of the body. The use of sharp instrumentation alone is not going to be sufficient for reporting excisional debridement, although in this specific case, it looks like the excisional debridement was clearly documented.
Thank you. We love clear documentation. Okay, so now let's go over to an inpatient rehab, and this is our friend Ron. He had a patient with multiple fractures plus an injury of the urethra and placed the patient in IGC 14.9. So the etiologic includes unspecified fracture of the left acetabulum, initial encounter for closed fracture, an unspecified injury of urethra, initial encounter, an unspecified fracture of the right pubis, initial encounter for closed fracture, and then the comorbidities are just a lot more fractures and anemia. So Ron puts the urethra injury in the etiologic to justify the IGC. And he asked, if I remember, A can be kept on the comorbidities since they are still active. Am I correct?
Okay. So the seventh character is actually going to be dependent upon when the fracture occurred. CMS has directed IRFs to report a comorbid conditions that were present in the previous acute encounter with the seventh character of D rather than an A. An A would be more or less indicating that the fracture actually occurred while they were on the rehab floor. The etiologic would still typically end in an A, a B, or C, depending upon what's most appropriate. And there is another caveat to that I want you to be aware of, which is that it's going to be different on the UB and the IRF-PI most of the time. On the UB for rehab, all of our fractures, including your principal, which is your etiologic, would have that seventh character of D. That's not the case on the IRF-PI. On the IRF-PI, your etiologic is going to have an A, and then your comorbidities typically, unless something happened in rehab, are going to have that seventh character of D. On the UB, it's always going to be a D. It's important to realize that your UB and your IRF-PI are not always going to be match, because that's a misconception a lot of people have, and I think it trips people up because you think the two forms should match, but that's just not always going to be the case. So If you have a UB that does not match the ERFPI, don't let it freak you out. It's okay. It's probably not going to match, and that's not just for fractures. That's kind of across the board for aftercare and for strokes as well. Just don't let it trip you up. I know it can be difficult.
Thank you, Heather. Wow, three questions. Now let's figure out who we're going to mug today. And I say that tongue-in-cheek, of course. I hope all of you listeners know that we don't actually go out and hurt people. We want to give you something. Here we go. So I've written these names down on slips of paper, and I'm spinning them around. And our winner is Lisa. So congratulations, okay. Lisa. I'm going to reach out to you to find out where to mail your mug. Thank you so much for all the questions. Please send more. We're looking for more questions because we want to get that question bank kind of full there. And also look for our emails because there will be a new event coming up soon. The next episode of Coffee with the Coder is going to be September the 8th. We hope you have a fabulous Labor Day, whether you're working, laboring, or not, just enjoying the day. We look forward to interacting with all of you in different ways and on social media. So that is today's program. I look forward to seeing you again soon.